Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Tamworth Regional Gallery, there was the very first meeting for the new Youth Council.
Oh, okay, so
there was
yes.
19 young, community-minded, very intelligent people who are signing up their time for free. Mm-hmm. They met with the local government councillors and discussed ways they want and issues they want to bring forward and events they want to plan. And one of the coordinators, she did tell me that they've got some money from the Department of Family and Community Services that they need to spend before the end of the year. So the council, the meeting, which I wasn't around for because I'm a bit too old.
Gee, you can't be too much. You're youth, aren't you?
No, it's so 15 to 18. So
mostly that is youth. That's good.
Yeah, it's great. I think I was kind of like, why was none of this? This didn't happen where I grew up. I think it's amazing. I spoke to one very bright young girl. Her name is Talia Barnwick. You're going to hear from her in the news as well.
Good. Yep, yep.
And she really wants to bring forward some issues around mental health and the recovery of mental health for young people as well as families and community as we come out of drought and like multiple, I guess, layered crises. But for her, she said the drought has been, and her family has been, the biggest issue as opposed to, you know, what maybe the nation right now is battling, COVID-related issues.
Well, it's one of the things, like, we don't really have the COVID issues up here, but, you know, you've always got them in the back of your mind. But that drought is still the big issue up here.
Yeah, definitely. And we're not out of it. If you look at, might have rained yesterday, but that doesn't take away, you know, years of...
No, that's right. And it becomes a, what they call a green drought for a while where the grass is green, but technically we're still in a drought. And, you know, the dam, you know, regardless of, it's on the way up, and Louise Cadell will be in today, the water officer from Tamworth Regional Council. She's fantastic. It's going up, maybe it's 16 or 17 now, and we're going, oh, fantastic. But it was only 12 months ago, it was 20, and we're going to go, when we were saying, what are we going to do when it gets to 16, 17? You know, so it's all in perspective. It needs to, you know, I'd like to see it above 60 before
definitely.
We even start thinking about, you know, lifting restrictions or, you know, easing restrictions, not lifting them, but... Yeah, so, yeah, it is a different... And it must weigh on your mind as a young person too because it weighs on mine.
Whilst, you know, us as adults and think they do a really, really good job of hiding their emotions from children, it's just not the case. And especially, like, you know, very children growing up really fast, especially with access to media and digital communications, they have a lot of more access to other people as well. So they kind of are understanding emotions and feelings and those kind of things maybe quicker than people used to before when their circle was smaller, their community was smaller, was limited to exactly who they would see. But now if you can communicate with people from all over the world, basically just at the touch of your hands, you're going to start to understand the way people think, feel a lot faster. So, you know, parents might be thinking they're keeping their, you know, feelings and thoughts from their children, but you're not really.
No,
and
you're not. No, of course you don't.
They're noticing.
They know straight away. Yeah.
And
they know when you've had a fight.
There was. Yeah.
Not that I ever do. But,
then there's also the other side when you're a child or, you know, a young person, you think that adults are perfect. And then when you become an adult, you realize, no, we're not.
No, that's right. Gee, I trusted them all that time.
Thinking I know.
They had everything under control. They had nothing. They had nothing under control.
I look at my friends now who are young parents and I think, Lordy, were my parents like this?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Yeah, and you know, the answer to that is yes, they were, because people are people. And like, just because you have a kid doesn't make you magically different
perfect
to what you are now. It's just you with a kid.
And, I mean, my parents
and
were
no
at
rule book.
University in the 70s, so there is no denying they had a life.
And there's no rule book for
exactly
parenthood, you know. There is. My best advice to you is listen to the cliches.
Yeah.
Because the cliches are cliches for a reason. They're reason because
I'm just going to listen.
They get
to my
told
mom.
Over and over again because they're bloody true.
Yeah, true. But anyway, yeah.
They
so
take
was...
up all your time. Oh, it'll really change it. Like, yeah, whatever. You know, let's do this. Nah, nah. They do.
So, yes, there was 19 fantastic young people there last night. I think that we'll see some really exciting things to come from them between now and the end of the year. So, yeah, that's...
So it's like a political thing, is it? I don't say political. I don't want to bring that sort of, you know, partisan politics, but is it like a, you know, it's leading not, the community type?
Yeah, so they're kind of the representatives really of the people their age in the community.
Yeah,
which,
so great, yeah.
I was speaking with a couple of the councillors as well, and they said, you know, there are a lot of young people in the Tamworth regional area, so it's super important for them to have representatives and a voice. So, you know, some people that work on the council also have other jobs in the community.
Yep.
However, you know, even if you're a teacher, you're not going to hear what happens at lunchtime and what the kids like or the young people are really discussing.
That's exactly right.
But you know who does hear that? Other young people. Yeah. And so they can bring that to the attention of adults and that have more power to make things go forward.
Now, question without notice here. What's that stargazing thing that I heard Kevin Anderson talking about?
Yesterday?
Tell me about that. That sounds really cool.
They're constructing a new astronomy centre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just started some more construction. I think it was put on hold for a little while because of COVID. Now there's some frameworks going up. So it's really coming ahead.
Where is it?
That's a great question.
Oh, you don't know? That's all right.
I obviously just got here a month ago. So I'm coming into some stories like halfway through and I don't know like the beginning of the story. I have a feeling that it's up near the botanical gardens.
Right, okay, yeah, I know where they are.
I was there the other weekend having a walk. I'm like pointing here in the studio.
No, well, you're pointing in the general,
right direction.
Right hand as opposed to...
I get confused when I'm inside.
That way would be, you know, Murrurundi down that way. Yeah.
So I have a feeling it's up there because I was there at the botanical gardens on... couple of weekends ago and I saw this like construction. I was like, what's that? And there is already an astronomy club sign for there. So I think they're building a new one.
Okay.
It's going to have a roll off roof. It's going to have telescopes, also historical telescopes as well.
That'd be amazing.
Education programs. But like the most amazing club for like space nerds.
Like, yeah, but you don't have to be a space. You can become a space nerd.
Yeah, totally.
That's the bit I love.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and I'm not saying nerds in like a negative way. I think it's amazing. Like,
well, nerd's a positive word these days
100%.
Anyway. 100%. One of the guys on The Chase is the nerd.
Yeah, you can just
go
there and
they play
and,
right
like,
up on him.
Completely nerd out in whatever you're interested in. If it's space, if it's stars, planets.
You can geek out.
Yeah, that's right. Geeky nerd out.
But I want to do that. I want to check that out. Have you noticed?
I think we can organise for you to go and have a look.
All right, I reckon you come too.
Yeah.
Now, have you noticed the stars in the sky up here as opposed to in Newcastle? There's heaps more.
I tend to go to bed very early.
Well, the good news is it gets dark really early at the moment as well.
Yeah, that's true. There's been a lot of cloud cover as
later
which
on
I think
this week
has been hindering.
When it clears, you have
the
a
weekend?
Look.
The weekend?
Yeah, Thursday. Okay. Thursday night. It's just incredible, the difference between here and the Central Coast where I've been living before this.
Well, I even
noticed... even when you think it's a lovely starry night, you don't get half the ones you get up here, you know. So this is a really great spot for an astronomy.
Yeah, and there's like piece. Tamworth isn't too large at the moment, so there's not too much light pollution. I think one of the major things looking at stars is how much light there is around you. So in a really big city, you're going to have a lot of lights on. I think probably even if you went out of Tamworth a little
Lake
bit.
Lake Keep It, they tell me.
Yeah.
Lake Keep It, which is over on the Gunnedah Road over there that way somewhere. Lady here tells me that she loves her photography and says out there in the middle of, she goes out there in the summer and it's amazing. She
reckons
you get the whole Milky Way.
I mean, I can even notice
sort of
it in the daytime. I went up to Oxley Lookout in the day when it was a really nice sunny day and the distance that you could see was incredible because if there's no fog like there was yesterday, Yeah, it's just like there's no smog. Like you don't realise that there's smog in the city until you go somewhere that doesn't have it.
Exactly, exactly. Now that's interesting. All right, fantastic. Well, a couple of good things. You're on Triple J, the Youth Network. I'm joking. News after this.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM.
Tuesday morning we do Tuesday Life Hacks. We're just doing advice from people who have experience and have knowledge and people who are over 40. Basically, maybe like you are, maybe you're not. Advice like this. Don't take criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from. I really like that, particularly in this world of social media that we're living in. Incidentally, social media is just an illusion. There's nothing that's true on social media, which is why you won't find me on the Facebook. I decided that the good of the Facebook, which is staying in touch with your relatives and all that sort of thing, can be achieved outside of Facebook. If you're vigilant and you've got a good email address, got everyone's email address, you can still stay in touch. But all the stuff that goes on your Instagrams and your TikToks and your Facebooks, a lot of it, and it's particularly Instagram, of course, a lot of it's not true. And people are willing to give you some free advice on there, and most of them are absolute tools. Don't take criticism from someone who you wouldn't take advice from. Have a think about that. I quite like that one.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM.
The University of Bath says young men are able to devour twice as much pizza when they push themselves. For some in the study of 22 to 37-year-olds, this means chowing down on two pizzas in one meal, and apparently it doesn't do you much harm. This kind of meal probably sounds disastrous to health experts. Researchers report the average number of calories consumed during the pizza was around 3,000, or about 1.5 large ones. Despite all the extra calories and fat, the British team finds men don't suffer any immediate health issues when overindulging occasionally. We all know the long-term risks of overindulgence with food when it comes to obesity, type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Aaron Henges says in the university release, our findings show that the body actually copes remarkably well when faced with a massive and sudden calorie excess. Joey Chestnut, world champion hot dog eater, be happy to hear that. Healthy humans can eat twice as much as full and deal effectively with this huge initial energy surplus. The study in the British Journal of Nutrition reveals the men's blood sugar levels are no higher after finishing a normal than after finishing a normal meal. The all-you-can-eat pizza buffet, which can you get an all-you-can-eat anymore? I think that's all stopped now. Does create a 50% spike in insulin, the hormone that controls blood sugar levels. Blood lipids are only slightly higher when eating twice as much food. This surprised the team since previous studies pointed to these fats rising according to how much a person ate. Those tested in the study were able to efficiently use or store the nutrients they ingested during the pizza eating challenge, such that the levels of sugar and fats in their blood were not much higher when they ate half as much food. So what we're saying is, as long as you're only doing it occasionally, it's not too bad. You can have that extra bit of that delicious pizza every now and then, as long as you're not saying that to yourself every week while you're watching the footy. Maybe I'll just have an extra bit of that pizza because it is delicious. But once every now and then, your body will go, you know what? Bloke's made a mistake. He'll be right. That's good news, I reckon. Well, a bloke walks into a bar in downtown Alabama and he orders a gin and tonic. And the barman looks at him and says, what? Gin and tonic? Ain't you from around here, boy? He says, no, I'm from Pennsylvania. Bartender frowns and says, what do you do there? He says, I'm a taxidermist. Bartender laughs and says, a taxidermist? What the hell is a taxidermist? The guy looks at him and he says, I mount dead animals. The bartender smiles and says, it's okay, boys. He's one of us.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
And something we missed yesterday was Vaccine Watch, which we normally do on a Monday. I'll give you the latest update on what's going on with the vaccine, because after all, that's the way out of this thing, isn't it? It's not going to be the social distancing and washing your hands and all that stuff, which is very important. Don't let me sell that short to you or anything like that. It is definitely important as we wait for the vaccine. Hopefully we do get it. The two most promising vaccines seem to be, and look, we're in the Western world here, so I don't know what's going on in Russia. I know there's allegations that they were trying to pinch some information from their various people. China has been saying they have a vaccine and they've given it to their army to test some months ago, but there's been no news come out of there already. Not that we would be expecting any from China at the moment, I don't think, as an Australian. The world's biggest COVID-19 vaccine, of course, we've got the Moderna trial in the US, which is the big company over there, Moderna. And we've got the Oxford, which is the Oxford University, they're very, very smart people, over in the UK, which seem to be the two most advanced ones at the moment. So the latest on the Moderna trial, they've started the world's biggest vaccine study underway on Monday, just the other day, with the first of 30,000 volunteers helping to test shots created by the US government, one of several candidates in the final stretch of the global vaccine race. There's still no guarantee that it will work, of course. The issue they've got with this preparing it this far, and the reason why it normally takes so long to get a vaccine, is because you've got to test it over a number of months, like about a year or more, and see what its efficacy is after. How good's that, eh? Efficacy. Should have been a doctor. What its efficacy is after 12 months or 18 months. Do we have to keep getting another shot every 3 months? Does it work for a number of years, like, say, a polio vaccine would? Volunteers won't know if they're getting the real shot or a dummy version, of course. That is the best way to do a trial. You give half of them the placebo and half of them the actual and test the results there. They don't know which, so they can't. They can't fake the results, basically. After two doses, scientists will closely track which group experiences more infections as they go about their daily routines, especially in areas where the virus is still spreading unchecked. So Brazil is a great place to be doing that trial at the moment. The US, of course, unfortunately for them, they still have plenty of areas that they can do it for as well. Unfortunately for the United States of America, we have plenty of infections right now to get that answer, says Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's their chief medical officer. He's their equivalent of Dr. Paul Kelly or Nick Coatsworth. Moderna has said the vaccination in Savannah, Georgia, is the first site to get underway among more than seven dozen trial sites around the country. In Birmingham, New York, nurse Melissa Harting said she volunteered as a way to do my part to help. Of course, there's no shortage. That's the good thing. There's no shortage of people lining up to get involved in this. So they start theirs, and they're saying, Dr. Anthony Fauci actually said as late as about 15 minutes ago, I'm following this live, on one of the US websites there. He said it's possible that they'll have it by October, but probably November. So that's pretty not bad, is it? Fauci, this is literally a couple of hours ago. Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, refused to rule out the possibility of an October surprise news of an effective vaccine. Fauci made the comments as he announced Moderna and the NIAID had started a phase 3 trial of the vaccine in the US, which they started last Monday. He says if a vaccine were developed by October, the news would come in the midst of the most highly anticipated election season in generations. So you got to put a little asterisk next to that, don't you? Because I know who's going to be pushing him to say, let's get this vaccine out there and approved before November. Of course, the first Tuesday in November, Melbourne Cup. Here's a little bit of trivia for you. The Americans have fixed terms, and it's always the first Tuesday in November is where their election is. It's always on Melbourne Cup Day. Well, the day after in terms of, you know, the way the world turns, but easy thing to remember. Fauci said an October approval is certainly conceivable if we have a real blast of rash of infection in those sites which we do have active enrollment, that you might get an answer earlier than November. I doubt that, but we're leaving an open mind that that might be possible. He added, likely November, but possibly it could be earlier. So that's some terrific news right there in terms of the Moderna one, but you've got to take that with a grain of salt because it's election season over there, and yeah, you're just going to be a little bit careful of the political side of things over there. Now, the Oxford vaccine, which is the UK one, it's the one I think is more promising, given that there's a little bit of probably hyperbole going on around the US one. They're testing that in Brazil. The Oxford vaccine has just entered the final phase of its COVID-19 trials. They are testing it in Brazil. Andrea Barbosa was thrilled to be jabbed in the arm. The 46-year-old ophthalmologist is one of the 5,000 volunteers in the clinical trial in Brazil of a COVID-19 vaccine candidate. It's called the CHADOX1, the vaccine developed by the University of Oxford in the UK in collaboration with biopharmaceutical company AstraZeneca, which is a German company. Phases 1 and 2 of the clinical trial took place simultaneously in April in southern England when safety and immune responses were checked in more than 1,000 healthy volunteers. That was very, very successful, that one. It even produced the T cells, which actively kill the coronavirus in your body. It produced some of those as well. Brazil's an important proving ground for this, of course, as the UK's vaccine candidate continues its rapid march towards approval. Just trying to work out when they're thinking that might be. The preliminary results from all of the trials will be collected through November, and if they confirm that the vaccine is effective, the Oxford team will submit it for an initial registration by the end of the year. So it's looking like the end of the year for the vaccine for all of these. The US is saying November, but little asterisk next to that one, the US election is on the first Tuesday in November, and Trump would love to make some kind of announcement just before the election, of course, so you've just got to take that one with a little bit of a grain of salt. But the UK trial, by the end of the year, we'll know. So look, it's all looking promising at the moment. We can just sit here with our fingers crossed from the other side of the world. At Tuesday mornings, we do Tuesday Life Hacks. Doing good advice from people who know. My simple advice, this is not mine, this is the person who wrote this, is to own as little as possible. Having minimal possessions has made me happier and more focused. It isn't about sacrifice or going without. It's about finding pleasure in what I already own. If a friend buys a new jacket, I'm happy for that person, but it wouldn't motivate me to buy one. There's a certain Zen calmness you get when you get off the consumption treadmill. I really like the sound of that. $500 heated towel racks, wife. Not required. We have that. We're redoing our bathroom at the moment down, not in the mustard hut, but in the other hut. And the wife decided to splash out on a $500 heated towel rack for the kids' bathroom, well, the main bathroom. They've never hung a towel up in their life. I said, what do you want a $500 heated towel rack? No one's ever used it. They use my daughter's got what we call the floor drobe. She puts everything in the floor drobe. So do the boys. No one's ever hung a towel up. If I removed the towel rack in the main bathroom at my place, no one would notice. I might even try that.
Right across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, this is 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
And let's go to the States, find out what's happening in the good old US of A. Orlando, Florida. Gee, we go to Florida a bit. You could just about have an Only in Florida segment. But this one I kind of like. A 40-year-old man who was allegedly blocking traffic in Orlando, Florida by doing gymnastics in the middle of the road was caught on video on Tuesday, July 21. The cops turned up. What do you reckon he did? He attempted to evade arrest by cartwheeling away from police. The cops told him to stop. He just performed a series of cartwheels and thought he could get away. He thought he could cartwheel faster than the cops could run, I guess. They do build up a bit of a head of steam, those gymnasts. At one point, the man lies down in the middle of the roadway. Orange County Sheriff's Department officers attempted to detain the man, who wriggled his way free of their clutches. Of course, they're not allowed to, you know, shoot or anything now. He performs a couple more. He tries to cartwheel away from them again, and again they catch him. And finally, they arrest him. According to the sheriff's office, the gymnast, Gianfranco Fernandez, was charged with battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting a battery. He might have clipped him with his heel as he tried to cartwheel away. I don't think he was battering him.